Chapter 52. Joe Breen rolled over to the opposite side of the bed and was immediately aware that Moira was gone. His heart sank, and there was the briefest moment of panic. The snap of fingers lasted longer. Still, he thought, if this was love, he wasn't sure he wanted any part of it. The ache he felt during that finger snap in time cut a jagged fist of a hole right through him. It hurt worse than any punch that had ever landed on him, worse than even the deepest, most ragged stab wound that had ripped into him, worse than the two gunshot wounds he had absorbed. What he couldn't fathom was, why Moira? Over the years, he'd had many of these art school girls warm one side of his bed, and many of them a fair bit better looking than Moira. Could it be that he felt connected to her because she came from Ireland? That her accent, unlike his uncle's, was sweetly lilting and fell like music on his ears? Could it really be that simple? She was paler than most of the other girls, and that was a bold statement, given how little of the sun most of these girls seemed to expose themselves to. And thin. Goodness, the girl looked as if she barely ate at all. Her teeth were a bit crooked, and her wispy light brown hair fell off her head as if each strand had a will of its own. But there was no denying her eyes were rare gems. They were deep blue crystals flecked with black and gold. When he looked into them, damn him if his knees didn't weaken. The thing that scared Joe was what followed in the wake of the knee-weakening rush. The overwhelming panic at the thought that she wouldn't always be in his life, or that someone like himself could cut her out of his life. And that was followed by something even more foreign to him than love. Regret. He couldn't get the image of the lifeless nude body of Martina Penworth out of his mind. He shook his head, as if trying to shed the image. For fuck's sake, he thought. Next thing he knew, he'd be praying for his deeds to be undone. His momentary panic was erased by the aromas wafting into his bedroom from the kitchen, and the padding of Moira's feet heading his way. Before she got to the bedroom door, Joe's mouth was watering. The sweet and smoky scents of crisp fried bacon and breakfast sausages were so strong, he swore he could already taste them. There were eggs, too, and maybe toast. There were other scents as well, not as familiar. Moira came through the door, a breakfast tray in her arms, a mock frown on her face.
"I'd hoped you'd still be asleep, Joe. Now you've gone and spoiled me surprise."
When she saw that he had taken her joke to heart, she said,
"Don't be daft, Joe. I was only having a piss with you."
Joe smiled at her and stared at the tray in Moira's hands. Lorraine Frazetta had bought the tray for him when he moved into the house as a kind of nasty joke. Lorraine could never imagine anyone who would want to share Joe's bed. Could never imagine anyone whom the heartless bastard would ever bother serving breakfast in bed to. Could never imagine anyone caring enough about Joe to serve him.
"What's this?" he said, as Moira placed the legged tray over Joe's lap. "Have you never had a good Irish fry? It's a breakfast that'll last you the day. Fried eggs, bacon, sausages, toast, black pudding, strong Irish tea."
"Black pudding?"
"Don't ask, Joe, just eat."
She bent over and kissed his forehead.
"Aren't you going to have any?"
"I've eaten mine. I used to think my ma was mad when she said she just enjoyed watching Da eat her cooking. Now I know. I just wanted to watch you enjoy."
Joe wasn't a man who needed to be told twice. He dug into the food with the same gusto as when he made love to Moira. He wanted to please her in all ways. But as he ate, Martina Penworth haunted him.
"Is it not to your liking, Joe?" "I love it. Just work stuff getting to me."
He pulled her close and kissed her hard on the mouth.
"I love it, and I love you."
His heart stopped. He closed his eyes. He had never uttered those three words before, and the panic returned. When he opened his eyes, Moira was smiling at him. But before she could speak, the doorbell rang, and there was a fierce knocking at Joe's door. Joe's face went ice cold, his voice colder.
"Stay here."
He closed the bedroom door behind him. He went into his hall closet, pulled out the third shoebox stacked on the floor, opened the lid and grabbed the loaded .45. He didn't prefer the .45, but he didn't want to grab the 9mm he kept near the bed in front of Moira. He racked the slide to chamber a bullet and went to answer the door. He stood to the inside of the door opposite the knob, so that if anyone shot through the door, he would be safe. He aimed the .45 at where a 6-foot-tall man's torso would be.
"Yeah, who is it?"
"Open his fucking door right now. I don't have time for this crap."
It was Mike Frazetta. Joe opened the door, putting the .45 in the drawer of a cabinet in the hallway. Joe wasn't alarmed by his boss showing up at his door, because Mike hated using the phone unless he absolutely had to. It was the one thing he was paranoid about. When Mike came in, Joe put his left index finger across his lips and nodded at the bedroom door. Mike understood and smiled.
"I got you," he said, his voice just above a whisper. "What is it?"
"I want you to keep an eye on Vic. I think he might run, maybe even skip out on us before he delivers the envelope to Salter."
Mike handed Joe a slip of paper with the address of Vic's hotel in Paradise.
"What do you want me to do if he runs?"
Mike slapped Joe playfully on the cheek.
"Do what you do best."
Mike winked and walked out the way he came in. Joe smiled as he went back to breakfast. Then he thought about Martina again, and Moira standing on the other side of the bedroom door. He stopped smiling.